Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, we've been going through this entire week, going through the process, the details, the argument for Republic Review. We tried to do this not every week, not every month. We try to do this on a, I'll just say as an on-needed basis, or as needed, I should say. But the important thing is that as people start listening more, as the audience grows, we need to go through this. I appreciate the feedback, by the way. Some people don't know that there's that kind of detail to talk about Republic Review, to provide the overview of the process. And so I appreciate, again, like I said, the feedback. And what I'm hoping is those of you that are getting these epiphanies, those of you that are recognizing, you know, that this is not just some, you know, well, let's get a bunch of people together and start talking. This is a process. This is, this has outcomes, our compliance. One of the things I think that, if I can articulate the overall feedback that I've gotten this week, one of the things that I'm garnering is that people didn't realize that Republic Review is one of those things that, I'll just say it this way, there have been people that thought that, oh, well, Republic Review isn't that well defined, or it's one of those things that could be taken over. And I think this concept comes from possibly those who have been mind-melded and or, you know, soothsayed into believing that Republic Review could become the portal for an Article 5 convention. And you should be now at this point convinced that this is a process that can't get hijacked. This cannot get hijacked. The fact is, that power, that role, that responsibility is either in the Constitution or it's not. And if it's not in the Constitution, it's unconstitutional. And as people start looking at it that way, they start realizing, huh. And I think people, at least those who I've gotten the feedback from this month, or this week, I mean, they're getting it. They're starting to see that this is a very defined process, and it is not a witch hunt. It is a crossing the T's, dotting the I, thorough process to get the federal government into full compliance. Now, this feeds this old rant of mine. Why in the heck would any organization try to go around and say, hey, this is a process that it's a portal. It's a portal to a convention of states. These guys are wanting to open up the Constitution and make us all vulnerable, and we will lose all of our liberties, blah. And I'm going, why in the heck would people go on a misinformation campaign like that? This goes down to an old rant that I had, and that old rant basically points to, you know, some old organization that has been around trying to fight communism. And I look and I go, well, if they've been trying to fight communism, they really suck, because we're about as close to communism as a nation as we've ever been. And I mean, we're almost at that point of tipping over. We're at that point where if we don't perform Republic Review because of them, then we will be lost. There's no doubt in my mind. I talk about the 2024 critical mass with the education system. And I want to point this out as well, because this lends to a different conversation I've had with other people. When it comes down to that point in time, if we get a state, if we get a couple of states on board and moving forward prior to the critical mass, when these useful idiots coming out of the education system are willing to throw away our liberties and say, get rid of the doggone Constitution, then at least enough states will have heard and stand up to the federal government at that point and say, you have no authority to get rid of our contract. It is not yours. We've only delegated very specific powers, and to determine whether that contract is valid or not is not yours. There has never been a mechanism in the Constitution, and I'm hoping to have this conversation with Dr. Vial. There is no mechanism in the Constitution to put aside the Constitution itself. I think there may be justifications or arguments, there may be some arguments like for martial law to put aside certain things within the Constitution, certain protections on privileges and immunities, but it does not negate or it does not allow the federal government to put the entire Constitution aside. And it doesn't give them special powers and privileges to do anything outside of the ordinary. So this is, I think, a conversation. I'm making a note. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to actually, you're going to hear me write this note down. Okay, there we go. We're going to talk about putting aside the Constitution with Vial. And so there we go. I've got the note, and I want to make sure that I remember that, because that's an important conversation, because it lends with the militia, because it lends to this whole concept that everybody's running around, well, the U.S. is a bunch of corporations now because they had to put aside the Constitution. They may have had to put aside the Constitution for some legitimate purposes such as habeas corpus or a writ of habeas corpus and those types of things, but I do not believe that the federal government, and I do not believe I've ever seen anywhere in any of the conversations in the ratification debates, so that allows them to do, you know, to put aside the Constitution, to be able to give, grant them any new powers or anything like that. And because there is a lack of any of that evidence, because they did go into the details of martial law, they did go into the details of national emergency type of things. There is no power granted to the federal government to be able to give themselves carte blanche any type of powers that they felt necessary. So with that, I think people are starting to understand that, one, this process can't get hijacked, and two, this process has nothing, and I repeat, all caps, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing to do with an Article 5 convention. This is the process, as the Eagles Forum is starting to recognize. This is the process that actually counters the Article 5, and it is the process that gets states to put aside its Article 5 process. So with that, let me kind of leap forward into the things that I should have already said, that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the details of what we really have to do to get the federal government out of our lives and back into the things that we've delegated them to do via the Constitution. The listen number, if you want to listen while you are traveling and about, 605-562-4209. And if you want to help, if you want to get involved, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We want to get into and get through all of the last of the bullets that we have to do today. So I'm going to just kind of go forward and say, hey, I've already stated if you wanted to help, if you can get involved with constitutionclub.ning.com, then by all means, please do so. I will also beg and, you know, plead that if you can, then go look at ourfirstright.org and look at what those folks are doing. And if you're doing something for Constitution Day, please let us know. We'd love to put a plug in for you. And do not forget, we've got Red Pill Expo coming up. Red Pill Expo, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, Hartford, Connecticut. If you live on the northeastern seaboard, you should be there. if you want to carry some credentials with your friends that you are a conservative leader, you need to be there, and then you will be able to meet and network with those folks that I would say are the, what do you want to call them, the evangelicals of the conservative movement that are out actually spreading the word of what the heck is really going on and how it is going to affect every facet of our lives. So with that, let me also, I realize I've got barely a minute left. And so yesterday, what we were diving into at the very end was the Dissolvent and Decommission Committee. And this committee is the committee that will actually go through and evaluate the information that came from the research committee in determining what they really need to do regarding the assets, the resources that are within this role, responsibility, and power, and identify to Congress in a resolution that this particular department possesses valuable information for the Republic. Let's just say, and I'm going to go back to the Education Department because I kind of covered that yesterday. Let's just say the Education Department is deemed as a completely worthless organization. That doesn't mean that they will not want the Department of Education to actually document and or put aside all of its archives so that those can actually be available for everybody to go through. So that way we start having full transparency into what the different administrations had done and so forth. We need to be able to write the history books that actually captures and articulates the truth. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic review. Please read my argument for Republic review as well as my description of the Republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So the reason I'm bringing up the education again, bringing this back up, is because there are other departments that I believe will be very revealing in how we have had administrations provide direct guidance, direct what's a good word for it? Instructions and or direct policies and providing policies that were oppressive and or bad towards the American people, towards the states, and so forth. And so a couple of the agencies and or departments that I would like to point out is the Department of Interior. I believe that the BLM under Obama's administration was given very specific guidance in how to treat the Bundys. I truly believe that the Bundys would like to see, and the rest of America would like to see, what was being said in the back channels between, you know, the Department of Justice, the White House, and so forth, as they were engaging with, leading into an armed conflict, as well as having that standoff where they murdered Lavoie Finicum. I would like to see the chatter that was coming. I cannot believe that there was zero input coming down from the White House regarding what the heck was going on in America. I believe that when we open up the books, we will find that there's blood on hands that I believe that we will want justice. I believe that there should be justice, and I believe that there are people that are pursuing justice, and they won't get their true day of justice where they can choose to provide mercy or not. But we need to get to that point to where we can actually have the honest conversation. So again, that's one of the reasons why this dissolvement and decommission committee will, you know, be dictating what they're going to want. And these resolutions will be going to Congress and telling them exactly what is expected, what we want out of these departments. And again, I can't emphasize enough, we need to make sure that we have a very slow, methodical decommissioning process and schedule so that we can afford all the people in these institutions every bit of dignity and opportunity to be able to transition smoothly from a public service unconstitutional job into a legitimate and legal job that allows them to, you know, not have to worry and look over their shoulder anymore, because, you know, technically what they're doing, you know, there's no real authority within the Constitution for them to do. Anyway, the Amendment Recommendation Committee. Now we're into that. If a remote chance that 38 states or more desire to retain a role, responsibility, or power, such as the Veterans Affairs. Now, I will tell you that the Veterans Affairs is a legitimate role, responsibility, and power, but not as a separate entity. It is a part of the Department of Defense, and that's where it should have been. They should have basically said, hey, look, Department of Defense, you guys now have a retirement program and you have benefits that you have to provide. You need to make sure that you take care of those people you broke. There you go. And tie their hands, and so we can actually start having honest conversations, because isolating it over to the VA just creates another bureaucracy and doesn't create accountability to the department that might have had problems. So anyway, the next bullet is, if by even more remote chance Congress fails to author. So this is where it comes in, and this is where people may go, oh, look, he's supporting this. No, I'm not supporting this. But let me read this and I'll explain. By more of a chance, Congress fails to author or refuse to author an amendment that the 38 states has requested. This is by a very remote chance. Then each of these 38 states must then apply individually for an Article 5 convention, because all states working in the Republic process have already withdrawn their application to Congress for the Article 5 convention to join the Republic review process. Now, the only reason this is being mentioned is because it is a constitutional process and path within the Constitution. I would be disingenuous if I said, well, you know, these 38 states have requested and Congress isn't going to give it, well, there's nothing we can do about it. No, there's actually something in the Constitution that we can do about it. But I want you to think about this. That's why it's by a remote chance. What is the possibility that you hear 38 states say, we want to keep something we're doing and giving you these powers? Why would Congress not jump at the opportunity to retain some power, to retain some ability to tax us more and to have more control over us? I mean, this is almost like saying that if you dropped millions of dollars loosely on the freeway, that no one would stop and pick them up, that you would have a troop of, you know, there would be a remote chance that a troop of Boy Scouts would get out, stop traffic, pick up all the money and give it to you. I mean, there's a remote chance that that could happen, but not likely. And the reason I'm putting this in again is because I would be disingenuous to completely ignore the Constitution. You have to accept the Constitution as it is. If, and I'll just say this, so that those John Birchers and all those people that are, a convention, that word scares me. If that word scares you, when we finish with Republic Review and we see the process of actually having a state assertion of authority over the Constitution, I truly believe that at that point in time, the one amendment that we could garner out of this is to remove the Article 5 convention process completely, because now the states understand their role, responsibility, and power they possess over the Constitution, the oversight, and how they have a mechanism with technology today to avoid ever having to perform an audit and Republic Review again. The states just need to be more proactive in the process to basically let the president know, if you sign that executive order, then we will consider that an unconstitutional breach. And or to the court, if you tell us that this is going to be a legal law, then we're going to consider that a constitutional breach. What the Supreme Court should be doing is the Supreme Court should say, we believe that this is a right within the Constitution. However, there is no explicit right. We believe it's implied, but there's no such thing as implied powers within the Constitution. Therefore, Congress needs to legislate an amendment for the Constitution to granting this power, because we believe that this power is in line with the framers' intent. There you go. And it takes away the legislation from the bench and legislation from the president. If not, then the states can step in and go, sorry, you have no constitutional authority to legislate. You cannot create a law. You cannot say that this type of marriage is legal. There is no power within the Constitution to grant that. If you want, then you need to dictate to Congress to say, create an amendment to ask the states to give us the authority over marriage. And watch the states just stand up and go, are you kidding? Really? No way. Boom, shut down. Just like in 1926, when they tried to pass an amendment for the states to grant and delegate the power for the federal government to regulate child labor. The state stood up and said, are you kidding me? You have no business dictating labor. Boom, gone. And that supports the whole concept right there of the fact that the states rejected amendment for the Department of Labor to exist, and we still have one, just like the Department of Transportation. Anyway, let me move forward. It must be noted that, one, Congress failure, each representative and senator, to follow the recommendations from Republic Review would be a detriment to each member's career, and that the citizens of these representatives and senators should consider replacing each in their next election window of opportunity. Now, I will even add to this, and I need to make note of that, because this is an important add that... what should actually happen is they should be looked at for treason. So I'm going to do this. Yes, I've made a note. And so what we should do is, there we go. what should happen is if these senators and congressmen actually fail to do their job, even though it's a detriment to their career, the states have a responsibility to say, look, you take an oath to support the Constitution, and actually that's not enough, but we consider what you're doing moral perjury at minimum, and we believe it's treasonous. We're calling you back, and if we can't find you guilty of treason, then what we will do is we will find you guilty of moral perjury and ban you from public service for the rest of your life. Now, the next bullet here, which is all in red, because, again, this is about the Article 5, and I kind of just said this, but I want to read it for verbatim. The state's path for – oh, I ran out of time. So, anyway, one of the persons that helped me with this, who was a Convention of States former – I should say a former Convention of States advocate – kind of help me with this. So we will be back, and I will get into that that paradigm that this friend of mine helped me with from the Convention of States. And so we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so this red text at the very end here is what I call the Robert vernacular, because the gentleman's name was Robert, who wanted to institute this particular verbiage. And the verbiage is state's path. The state's path for amending the Constitution within the amendment process, which is depicted in this section, is not a recommendation by any means, because it is a prescribed alternative within the Constitution. And until this is removed by an amendment, it must be included as a constitutional path for amending the Constitution. It would be disingenuous for an academic process not to include all existing processes. So there you go. That was my disclaimer as to why I was including this. So when the people that were just jumped up, that were John Birchers or whomever, aha, see, he is pointing to the Article 5 Convention. Come on, it's there. You don't like it? I don't necessarily care for it. I don't think we need it. I think you can remove it. Why have you not championed over the past 60 years, because you've been an ardent opponent of the Article 5 process, why have you not championed the amendment of removing the state's convention or the state's path? Well, because most people realize that there would be no other mechanism for the states to really step in. But now we've had further light and knowledge from our history, from our founding documents, that this process that Jefferson and Madison did actually does create and can be the foundation of the process in keeping the federal government in check and within the boundaries, especially with the way we have technology today and the ability to inject our authority. Because in the old days, it was really hard to do. It was really hard to organize and really understand what the heck was going on. We didn't have access to all of these founding documents. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't until 1976 where the University of Wisconsin started actually digging up and consolidating all this information, where people started going, wow. And this is why they started burying it, because they didn't want people to know that the states had all the power and all the control. If they only knew. And guess what? Yours truly is driving this message. And you have an opportunity to lead on the same message. This isn't my message. This isn't GR's message. I may have a copyright because nobody's ever done it before since Jefferson and Madison. But you can take the exact same thing. This is not for commercial. The only reason I have a copyright is so somebody can't take this and commercialize this and say, hey, I'm going to make all the money on this and make this a profiteering opportunity. It isn't. That's why I keep telling you, it's not about money. We're only looking to just cover our costs. We're not trying to make a penny on this, because we know that as the day we start bringing in that becomes lucre, we become corrupt and all will be lost. So we need good people with good integrity, good morals, and so forth, just like yourself. Get involved. Make today, make now that point in time where the earth shakes and it tilts on its axis, because we have people that are recognizing that we have the window of opportunity still to save this republic. The next bullet underneath that disclaimer is, in the amendment process, there is a chance that once the amendment is promulgated by Congress and to the states for ratification, a state election may change the makeup of a particular state's paradigm where the amendment may not get ratified. So in other words, let's say politicians, sometimes in their own vacuum, that, you know, they just like, they hoist their own petard and they get high on themselves. And then what ends up happening is they go, well, we want to kind of create this amendment. And the people, they completely oblivious, or they ignore the ranting of, you know, those voices that they hear, oh, that's just an outlier. Well, what could happen is that outlier could get the message out to a lot of people through a grassroots movement and unelect a lot of people to say, no, we do not want to delegate any more powers than what has been prescribed already, and we want to limit the federal government even more instead of empowering, which goes into the framers' intent of what Mason and what Madison ended up doing with the Bill of Rights. By creating greater limitations, not just by enumerating specific powers. The next bullet. These new recommended amendments that are unratified and or rejected amendments would then go for final assessment. Okay, so what happens is these new recommended amendments that go out and they don't get ratified and they come back and their states reject them or what have you, and they go, okay, look, we went through this cycle. You said you wanted to create this amendment. It comes back. Now the states have rejected it. Do you really want to try to force it back down to the states again, or shall we just decommission this role, responsibility, or power? And at that point, the logical, what makes sense to me, because this is a process, and you know, sometimes people repeat the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over and over, and they call that insanity, right? Because they're expecting a different result. fact of the matter is we can actually make a wise decision and say, let's just decommission it. And if the states want to really get this back, then they can always, you know, either apply for the Article 5 process if we haven't amended that out, or demand, just like we have with every other amendment that we've gotten, almost all the amendments we have had, just like the Bill of Rights, were all came from demands of the states that we want to control this. We want this to be done, like prohibition and undoing prohibition. Anyway, so that's why it has to go back, you know, the life cycle of this amendment then has to get back and then put into the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee for Dissolvement and Decommission. Finally, the last bullet here that we have here is congressional resolutions must include a conclusion that the creation, formation, and establishment of each of these unconstitutional RRPs were created as a strict violation to the Constitution, failing to get the state's authorization. Do you understand what we just did? What we're doing is we're making Congress acknowledge that previous sessions, previous people, and some of these people will still be in power. And as far as I'm concerned, like Pelosi and anybody that voted for Obamacare and they're still in office will probably be on the walking the plank in the next election as this is going on. I honestly believe that Republic Review may take a couple of years to go through that we get everything done. But in the process, I also believe that people like Pelosi and all of these other communists that have been undermining our Constitution will be identified, they'll be called out, and they will be recognized as treasonous. I believe that there's a lot of people that are in the camp of socialism that will wake up and go, you know what? I can't believe that. And they're going to have the epiphany that it's not their fault. Whose fault is it that they've been indoctrinated into socialism and looking to grant the federal government more power? It's the federal government themselves who have been educating people with this indoctrination. That's what happens when you give them that level of control. They create the mindless, useless idiots to support their agenda. It's the same thing with the news journalism and so forth. There's a lot of people, and I believe sorry, I'm not good with names, so sometimes I make those kind of mistakes. But I believe that he made a preposition that we don't have freedom of the press. I honestly believe that the states need to create standards of journalism and what journalism should be so that we can get rid of organizations that choose not to use journalistic principles and choose to actually push narratives and propaganda. We have to start identifying the difference between a propaganda mill and a true journalistic outlet, a true journalistic media, whether that is, you know, NBC, CBS, and so forth. So anyway, one of the things that, as I've said in a long time, is that media and the news or journalism, the press, is not protected by the states. The states can start creating standards. And I truly believe the best way to do it is like using jury duty. Instead of having people sit in a jury pool, what they do is you pull them in and they serve a week or two going through the barrage of news and propaganda coming from the state, you know, and all the main media that is coming into the state, and identifying whether, you know, there has been a true objective look at the issues or if they have been trying to drive propaganda messages. And if, let's say, NBC Nightly News is guilty of propaganda by the majority of the states, then they can actually levy taxation and or a label lynch them as a propaganda mill instead of being a service of objective journalism. Well, I'm at another hard break, which means we've got one more segment to wrap this up, and I've only got really this last paragraph, and then we'll talk about the model itself. So please stay tuned. We will wrap this up today. We've got it all done in 1 week, so pat ourselves on the back. We'll be right back.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so let's see if we can get this wrapped up. As you can tell, I've yet to actually have myself talk over myself on my promos when I'm talking live. But the day will be coming, because it's kind of hard to get those last thoughts out before you actually go to the break. So, but we got away with another one anyway. So the next line within this final bullet is, in the ratification process of the Constitution, it was clearly asserted by the delegates explaining the Constitution, which was Madison, which was Randolph, which was Nicholas, which was Eldridge Gerry, which was all those men that were in the Constitutional Convention as they went back to their states, Mr. Wilson, and so forth. All of these men were making these assertions. So again, it says that they clearly asserted by the delegates explaining the Constitution that the states must delegate each role, responsibility, and power to the general government. That if they do something that is not within the enumerated powers, they can't meddle with it. In other words, they're violating the Constitution. Consequently, as deemed by the Republic and in accordance with the U.S. Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, each of the roles, responsibilities, and powers that are identified as violations must be dissolved and or decommissioned per the prescribed schedule provided by the Republic. You got to understand that these committees, who's sitting at these committees? That is the Republic. These are appointed legislators from the different states that are working together to say, this goes away, that goes away. We want this back. We want this information. We want to make sure that we have all access. We do not want any document shredded. We do not want any document buried, burnt, or discarded. We want full access to all the computers, to all the files, and all the data and communications. Because we believe that we have had a level of corruption that has been historic in the world, as far as we believe, because in a free society, we have had a lot of evil players. I guess that's the best way to say it. Even though we know that in a communist model, we know that you can find all sorts of corruption. But in a model like ours, we should have had, and we need to understand how all of these things happened and how these players did this, not necessarily to, you know, burn these people in effigy. But what we need to do is make sure that we identify the processes moving forward to shut down any open window or door for these to ever happen again. And so the probably the most important thing that we get out of this is that the states have to start creating the barriers and or processes. And I believe Republic Review, just like I said, is that foundation. There's no doubt in my mind that once the states exercise Republic Review and exercise their oversight, they will realize once again the powers that they have, that they don't have the same level of integrity and nobility in the men sitting in the halls of Congress, SCOTUS and POTUS, that we have men, just like Madison said, men are not angels, they're fallible, and that they can actually do bad things. And so we have to have, and that's why they gave us this system. I've told you before in this past week and many times that this system was given to us not just by really smart framers, but they were inspired by the divine hand of providence. We actually have a system that can allow us to save ourselves without having to fight another bloody revolution. Now, if you understand what I have been saying regarding the leftists, regarding those progressives that are hardwired into subjugating, what's going to happen is that those folks that are off on the extreme, they are going to be in full denial, and they are probably going to be the ones that want to call a revolt against our system. They will probably try to kick off that Bolshevik revolution. And this is where and why I need to probably include this, that we need to actually recommend that every state that starts stepping into the Republic Review process, that they need to actually have the militia reinitiated and actually go to Congress and demand Congress the right weaponry, the right training, and everything else to reinstitute state militias so that they can deal with this type of civil unrest and this type of behavior that is probably going to come. Why? I tell you, and I've told you before, people that are that far into the black area of subjugation and slavery, remember, the white space is full liberty, where we believe that these people should be able to do anything and everything to choose for themselves and have liberty. Well, there are people that are willing to use force in subjugating us, and those people will have to be dealt with. We have to acknowledge the fact that evil exists, that people are going to try to make those decisions and try to revolt. Remember, the ends justify the means. And when they realize that the system that they have in front of them that was this close to being successful, they will do anything and everything they can to try to salvage it and try to, you know, get back what it looks like they're going to be losing. And so that's why I'm going to tell you that the militias need to be invoked, the militias need to be stood up so that they can literally squelch any type of public resistance, that people are coming up and saying, no, we want socialism. We got to undo this Constitution. That is absolute rebellion against our system. That is the definition of tyranny, or not tyranny, but treason. And so anybody that is a part of the uprising, that if you read Section 3, those people have to be arrested and they have to be processed and tried for treason. And as a matter of fact, my recommendation is that we don't even worry about holding them. We just say, okay, we get it. You don't like our system. You would rather live under a different system. So which system do you want to go to? Do you want to go to China or do you want to go to Russia? Which system that is a statist? We can send you over to Cuba, but you will be banned. You'll never be able to come back to the United States, and we're done with you because you have drank the dark Kool-Aid, and there's nothing more we can do to help you. At least, if not, those people that have actually gone down that path and revolted, and they say, you know what, I'm sorry, I did not realize. We have to have a process to kind of put in check or in place. So these people that have committed the rebellion, again, they should be marked that they should never be able to be engaged in public service. And they should also be marked to a point, and this is where I think we need to keep an eye on them, because you got to remember, the ends justify the means. So they'll lie, they'll do anything. It's just so they can stay here and try to become a parasite again in trying to undermine this new system that we've laid out. And so we have to be able to start identifying those people who were treasonous, that all, in all rights, should be actually exiled from America. If we allow them to stay, they have to accept the fact that they will be monitored because they were considered a true enemy of the state, a true enemy of the Constitution, not the state. There's a big difference. The state is government and the government of people. The Constitution is the system and the principles that we believe in. So there is a big difference. And that's why Article 3, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment speaks to the Constitution, not the state, not the government. It says those who want to willingly rebel against the Constitution. There you go. I hope this all makes sense. I hope that this all works out. Don't forget that we have that model. So if you click on the very bottom of the page, it will take you to the model where you can actually see the steps and the flow of everything that I've talked about. If you have not gone through the model while we were talking about it, why don't you download these podcasts from reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go through the model so that as you listen and hear me talk about this, 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 and this, then you can actually see the flow chart kind of coming out. Now, if there is some disconnects or anything, by all means, send me an email. If I can make this clearer or better, I'm all about process improvement and making things better. So I will be glad to look at how I can do this better. So please consider sending us an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.com so that we can help clarify this. So the next time we go through this in a few months or a half a year or in a year, we will provide those new updates and so forth. And I will let people know of your contributions and so forth. Well, it's been a full week. I'm G.R. Mobley. I've just proven that we are reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have a great weekend. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.